So there are obviously so many different reasons that people have for wanting to learn a new language. Maybe you're going on an upcoming international trip or just want to pick up a new hobby. Maybe you're looking to connect with a new culture. Whatever the reason, I want to introduce you to Rosetta Stone because they really are the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app. And I think the biggest difference with them is that they truly immerse you in the language you want to learn. So for me, when I was abroad in college in Barcelona, I was never fluent, but I felt like I kind of got it. I could hold my own during the time that I was there. And when I got home, my dad said to me, "Emmy, if you don't use it, you'll lose it." And he was so right, because like I completely lost it. And I've really been wanting to get that skill back. And I found Rosetta Stone to be really helpful in doing so. So first of all, they are the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. And it's fast language acquisition. So they immerse you in many ways. It's no English translation. So you're really learning to speak, listen, and think in that language, which in my experience, I know that I'm starting to get it when I find myself thinking in the language. There's speech recognition. So they have a built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's kind of like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. So desktop and app options with audio companion and ability to download lessons offline. And then it's an amazing value, a lifetime membership that has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Comments by Celebs listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/comments. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/comments today.
It's summertime, and that means it's time to get outside and enjoy the weather with some crisp, refreshing Bud Lights. Bud Light has the perfect summer lineup with Bud Light Lime and Bud Light Orange, both brewed with real citrus peels. New and just in time for summer is Bud Light Lemon Tea, brewed with real lemon peels and tea leaves. It's the ideal drink for summer, but it's only here for a limited time, so get it before it's gone. And to really get you in the summer spirit, Bud Light is giving everyone the chance to win the getaway of a lifetime. You can win two tickets aboard a VIP cruise to the Bahamas this summer, featuring a live performance by Jake Owen, and of course, plenty of Bud Light. For a chance to win, simply post your Bud Light summertime photos using the hashtag #RealEnoughToGetAway and hashtag Bud Light Contest on Facebook and Instagram. See budlight.com/realenoughtogetaway for more details.
Before we started, we just wanted to take a minute to acknowledge the passing of Cameron Boyce, 20-year-old actor that passed away in his sleep this weekend. It is such a heartbreaking story, and our hearts just really go out to his family. So we just sat down with Nick Vile. Very different episode than our typical. I mean, we went through the basic news stories that we would usually discuss. But as two girls who do not watch The Bachelor, he really educated us. We touched on this season. We asked him a lot of the follower-submitted questions, and we kind of got into it. So there is no Kardashian recap this week. Nothing major happened in the world of Kardashian anyway. And if you need the Kardashian fix, we have our Kardashian bonus show, which was all about their inner circle. So check that out, and hope you guys like this one. Hi, guys. I'm Emma.
And I'm Julie.
And we're the girls behind Comments by Celebs. And today's a very special episode. We are actually joined by Nick Vile. He's a season 21 Bachelor and also host of his podcast, Vile Files.
Hi. Is this where I chime in?
Yes.
That's you. That's your cue.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
No, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
This is, I have to say, you know, as you guys know, when we have guests, we treat them like co-hosts. So this isn't an interview. We just want your take on what's going on.
Great.
But I think what's interesting is that Julie and I, and we've been vocal about it, we're not Bachelor watchers at all. So I genuinely know nothing about you, which I think is kind of refreshing.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating that you guys aren't, in the sense that it's you're so tuned into pop culture, and yet I'm curious, do you watch like Vanderpump?
No.
Interesting.
You watch more Bravo than I do, though.
Yeah.
You do.
So, full disclosure, which the audience knows, for some reason, I just don't watch TV. I watched my first TV show, like, maybe ever, which was Big Little Lies. I know
you're being a little dramatic about that. It's not your first TV show ever, but it's her first, like, I would say experience, like, a binge-watch HBO.
Episodic.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's bizarre.
But how did you ladies get into pop culture?
So I'm a huge TV watcher, and she keeps up with everything else, just not watching TV. So the way, then they know this, but the way we met is we were in the same sorority, and we were in this group chat that was a Kardashian group chat to just talk about the Kardashians, and it like evolved from there into being a full pop culture thing.
A group
and
chat.
And here we are.
On the show.
Yeah. And
wow.
It's crazy.
What is it? What was it about the Kardashians that brought you in?
It's just a fascination we've always had. It's like whether or not you love them or hate them, you
care at least remotely or they're in your orbit. And I mean, I think the way they've monetized themselves is genius.
It's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally.
So anyway, here we are. So Nick's just going to give his input. We'll see.
It's great. I will do my best.
And don't worry, for all of you diehard Bachelor fans that were submitting questions, we'll get to that at the end. I even actually, fun fact, last night when we were prepping, I wanted to learn a little bit more about Hannah's season because I'm hearing so much. So we wrote in our Patreon group and I was like, does someone want to just call us? And one of our followers called us, gave us the whole lowdown.
The whole scoop.
So I think
we got it all. We're all caught up.
I'm actually a little ahead in the season. So I'll try not to give anything away.
Big flex.
Big flex.
Okay, let's get started. The first thing we're going to talk about is we've, for the past couple weeks, been talking about Joe Jonas and Sophie. We were waiting for the wedding. We finally got the wedding, and we were waiting for the pictures. So finally, they released.
What? Isn't this their second wedding or something? How does,
technically.
Is that a thing now? I feel like two weddings has become like this.
Two weddings is, I mean, well, they got married in Vegas after the Billboard Music Awards, and they had always planned on doing a ceremony in France, but they couldn't get legally married in France, so they did, like,
that makes sense.
Fun, you know, legal ceremony here, and then did the big one in France.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's justifiable.
Very justifiable. Yeah. We were waiting for it to happen. We didn't know when it was going to happen, and then Dr. Phil commented on Joe Jonas's Instagram, like, see you in France in a week, and we're like, did Dr. Phil just give away their date?
Also, is Dr. Phil part of the circle?
They're best friends. I know.
How'd that happen?
No idea.
I don't understand the connection, but I'm fascinated by it.
Totally.
Right?
Do you think Dr. Phil's a cool hang?
You know what? If Sophie Turner will hang with him, then I'm going to say yeah.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
I just wonder if he's like, he's Dr. Phil, where he still will give his, you know, critical feedback, or he's just like, kind of country Dr. Phil and just kind of has a few and just throws a few back and he's just like the coolest hang. Like a George W. Bush, whatever you thought about him as president, everyone's like unanimously thinks he's like, I want to party with that guy.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I could so see that.
Now I just want video footage.
I feel like that's Dr. Phil.
All I want now is video footage of Dr. Phil at Joe Jonas's wedding. We're going to have to get that.
Yeah, like ripping
Like he's
shots.
Game for anything.
He's down.
It's like anyone's like, hey, wouldn't it be crazy if, and he's like in the background raising his hand, I'll do it.
We're going to get Dr. Phil on here. So they released the first pictures, and at the same time, in very Nick and Priyanka fashion, they both released the picture of them walking down the aisle with the caption, Mr. and Mrs. Jonas. We'd only seen paparazzi shots until now, so it's like a very big deal. She was in custom Louis Vuitton, long sleeve with this plunging neckline. Apparently, it took over 300 hours to create. I mean, she looked...
No, insane. Worth every hour.
This is Sophie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
She's looking great. Yeah.
She really looked. You can just feel their love. We feel. I don't know if you follow this couple as closely as we do.
I ran into Joe Jonas at a restaurant in New York, and by ran into him, I was like eating lunch and working, and I was like, cool. Joe Jonas.
They're like normal people.
Yeah, I ran into Nick Jonas at Jones on Third in LA.
Well, I can't imagine how many people you've run into on Jones on Third.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. But yeah, they seem like they seem fun. I really like their Addams Family portrait.
Yes.
Yes.
At first glance, I thought that was like an original. He makes a great, what's the guy's name? He's since passed away, but not Joe Jonas.
Joe Jonas is still alive.
He's still with us.
Very much alive.
I really like that. It seemed like they have a good spirit and they're down to have some fun. She seems to be the kind of the leader in that relationship, right?
Totally.
Like she's like, hey babe, I have this fun idea, and he just loves her, so he's just totally down for it.
We always talk about last week, so I don't maybe 2 weeks ago, when they were in France getting ready for their wedding, she posted a picture to her Insta story of them. They had two tubs side by side and he was in the tub. I don't know what it was. After that picture, all Julie and I could think about is like, what is their sex life? Like it's all we could talk about.
I can only think about it.
I just hadn't even thought about it. And then she posted this picture of him like looking so hot.
I never thought
about it a lot.
Oh, you
really?
Have?
Of course I have. Are you kidding?
Tell me more.
Of course. I don't know. I don't know anything about it, but I've thought about wanting to know about it.
Do you actively, both of you, think about celebrity couple sex lives
more than probably any other topic? You
all the damn
really?
Time. Do you never
all the time?
I can no.
Really, you should start.
I wonder if it's gonna be one of those things. Like now, you've opened Pandora's box.
We probably
totally. Well, I feel like I'm one of those people, and I honestly don't know if this is a thing or it's just like a specifically me thing, that like when I see two people together, I have to think about them having sex. I have to.
No, me too. I mean, that's our personalities.
Yeah.
But I would feel like it would be yours also, so that's kind of interesting.
Why?
I don't know. You just strike me as someone who's like very, I've been following the questions with Nick on your story.
Sure, thanks. You're like, thanks for the plug.
Yeah, like openly sexual, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sex positive in that mm-hmm. sense, but that's different than seeing a couple sex. And be like, I wonder how they fuck.
Totally. I guess I'm saying I would imagine it would be top of mind.
And like, so you, but you think of it as the couple, the unit, not like Joe Jonas and Sophie and you. I don't know you guys' sexual preferences.
No.
But like you think of then it would make sense like, oh, you know, Joe's hot. I wonder if he's good in bed. That would make sense. And like as a guy, it's just like, oh, total babe. Like,
yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah.
She seems like a good time, you know, right. like, but right. as a couple, like their chemistry, I find that fascinating that you guys,
yeah.
want, it's not about your sexual preference. It's about those two as no, a it's couple. About,
and I do that with other people. It's not just celebrities. Like if one of my friends is like, I'm dating this guy. I'm like, I wonder what that's like.
Well, the thing is within your friend, you can ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't get the
or like a rant. Like, do you ever like see a random couple on Instagram and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. All the fucking time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's so our solely personality.
Solely based on Instagram, too.
Just, yeah.
I hope that we have forever changed your perception of the way you scroll down your timeline.
I'll let you know. I'm going to definitely comment on your feed at some point. I'm just going to be like, I wonder how these two people fuck.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be like, what?
Only you guys who listen to this will get that reference. Let's move on to our next story. So in other couple news, which, what a perfect and unplanned transition, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. So they released their Senorita music video last week or 2 weeks ago. It goes viral. It's incredibly hot. I mean, they're both very attractive people. Mm. And these rumored romances start. And, you know, she had just broken up with her boyfriend. And everybody's saying, like, do you think they're a thing? Do you think they're a thing? And then they're spotted last week as a couple holding hands. They're at Nobu's July 4th party, whatever. I saw a video, which I just want to say, because I don't know if you watched this, that Perez Hilton uploaded, where Shawn was at a, like, meet and greet. And one of the fans asked if him and Camila.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah.
Him and Camila
were together. And they're like, and if not, like, can we be? And he, like, shook his head no. And then he was like, but very clever way to ask me out. So, but he still said no. I want to hear your thoughts on this. My personal opinion, I think it's fully staged.
Yes. I think it's one of those situations where there's a 99% chance they're not in a romantic relationship. And they're going about it in a very clever way to not necessarily tell a lie and pretend they're dating, but just be around each other. And it's two good-looking people doing a song together. And fans always, when they see that, there's always those rumors. Like in Bachelor Nation, there's like so many alumni. And it's, you know, for me, I'm careful, you know, when I'm not saying I'm coming out with a hit song, for example.
of course.
Like being like caught, not necessarily caught, but seen with alumni, even as a friend, that like, especially like every season there's new like cast members. So mm-hmm. on Colton season, I'll always end up meeting a bunch of the women from the season, from events, and I'm always kind of staying away because it's right. so easy for rumors to start. Like fans want to see that. So totally. Part of it, I think, comes from fans, and I think they probably know just how excited fans would be about that. And so holding hands, they're friends, you know, and hanging out and being close and maybe, you know, not that they stage a pop shot, but like they're not they're so big that they know how to avoid paparazzi.
Exactly.
And they know when to not, right?
Exactly.
Come on.
Listen, that's how we feel. I mean, I know that the diehard people who want them together will probably come at us for saying that. And if they're together, I fully support them. I'm happy for them. I just can't see it. That's my,
And correct me if I'm wrong, they haven't said they were. All they've done is be next to each other and hold hands. And right. that doesn't, they're allowed
there
to do that.
There might have been one picture of them kissing.
Well, there was the very, in my opinion, conveniently
staged. Kiss someone on the cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, outside his house, it's like... My feeling
friends
on this.
Hanging out each other's house. Right. I mean, there's really nothing they've done at all to suggest they're absolutely dating. It's just too close. It's literally two colleagues who have grown fond of each other.
I love that we're putting this in business colleagues. Terms. Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this a lot because, you know, a lot of the times when people who are on TV shows or movies end up together, like, a lot of times people say it's staged, like whatever, and it turns out to be real. And it's the reason for that is when you're in a movie, you're in a TV show, and I can't totally remember different. Who was talking about this.
It's totally different.
No, it is. And I don't remember who was talking about this. They're like, no matter what, you're going to fall in love with the person you play a love interest with. It may be like short-lived, but it's going to happen because you can't spend that much time with somebody doing that many intense scenes and not have something there. So a lot of the times when people get together, it's like, okay, we've been filming this movie, we've been kissing on set, we've been spending this much time together, it's a natural transition and it just happened, we like fell in love. With a music video, it took what, 48 hours to shoot?
Tops.
Yeah. Tops. It's like you fell in love from a 48-hour video of you kissing. It just isn't logical to me. It's not the same thing as falling in love with somebody that you did a TV show or a movie with.
Yeah, I mean, again, if they are in a relationship, it's to your point, it's possible for them to fall in love, but it's not the fact that the video itself.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
Which I think that people like have drawn this conclusion. It's like, oh, they're in this like hot music video together, and like they end up together because the music video was so hot. It was like, yeah, they kissed for 48 hours. Well,
Do
you know how many relationships I would have been in?
Totally. Well, in a sense, like in the Bachelor environment, for example, is an environment that's specifically designed to elicit all other distractions, and then you invite like a lot of emotions. And not that a movie set is the same, but the little bit of acting I've done, like, and just, hey, you have romantic scenes, like there's a bond, there's a kinship develop with your crew. And it's one of those things, it's going to summer camp in a sense. Mm-hmm. Anytime you bond, and if you are two attractive people in a romantic, and let's say it's a drama, and again, you're really kind of, and you have to stay like in those emotional states to have a good performance. Totally, I can see that. But like a music video, come on, you know, like they have a fake fight and they're singing and then like staring out into the, well, as rain comes down. Like I don't know the video, but
something like that.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, no, I'm so on your page. I know that the defense of that, which is not my belief, is like they've been such good friends for so long. They never had the chance to be together in an even stage romantic capacity. They do this video and it brought it out. Listen, I understand if that's your viewpoint. It's just not mine.
I would also argue that, again, I think we're all in agreement. If they are in a relationship, totally possible because they know each other and they're friends, and that's not unbelievable. It's just not. It's almost. I would argue that if they were in a relationship, we actually wouldn't be seeing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would think they would probably be more careful about it getting out or slower. It wouldn't be so conveniently timed. Mm-hmm. If it were a romantic relationship they both like thought could be something, you can kind of come out whenever because that, you know, whenever. But because it's so specifically timed, it's too convenient.
It's too convenient.
Too convenient. Too convenient. Yeah. And I would guess they would want to be careful, protect the relationship, you know, be on the down low.
I'm 100% agree with you. But listen,
who knows?
I know. Yeah, who knows? We definitely don't. Okay, we are pausing to tell you guys about one of our favorite companies. You've heard us talk about it before, but we're going to talk about it again. We're here to talk about Third Love. Julie?
I can't say enough good things about this bra. I really can't. It's the best bra I've ever owned.
Okay. So Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. The thing about Third Love is that they have more sizes than most other brands. So they have more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, which is amazing, by the way. Like if you're a B and a half, you're in between a B and a C, how many times does that happen? Also, the convenience of it. You can skip the trip. So you find your fit with the Third Love online fit finder quiz. You order it. You try it on at home. And there's no more of those like weird fitting room experiences where someone's like chasing you around with a tape measure. I mean, I so vividly remember feeling that way and just hating it. Also, I've been super transparent. I don't wear bras ever. I don't like for myself, never. This is the only bra that I wear when I have to wear one. And Julie knows that's the truth. She's nodding.
Hardcore the truth.
So here's how the quiz goes. You answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's fun and it takes less than a minute. So the thing is, breast shape like matters so much when finding a good fit. And you can identify your breast size, the shape, the fine styles that fit your body. It's so customized. Like, isn't that a good way to describe it? It's just so...
Yeah.
we're literally the biggest advocates.
I can't say enough good things. I really can't.
I know. The best thing is that there's 100% fit guarantee. So every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test. If you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. It's amazing. Also, the returns and exchanges are free and easy. So Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/celebs now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. Again, that's thirdlove.com/celebs for 15% off today. Okay, now back to the show.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. So I've told you guys about Quince before, and the thing I really like about them is that they have these high-quality essentials that make it so easy to kind of curate a collection of just like staples that make it so easy to mix and match and then make the getting ready process so much more seamless, which is always what I'm searching for. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. For me, some of my favorites are the washable silk blouses because you look so put together with such minimal effort, which to me is like the ideal combo. And I also love the Mongolian cashmere oversized boyfriend cardigan because I'm just never mad at an oversized cardigan. They have it in a lot of colors. I got the navy. I got the dusty blue. You've probably heard Julie make fun of me for like only wearing blue, but I love a blue top. What can I tell you? Also, this is the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. So by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and then passes those savings on to us, which like obviously we are not complaining. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/CBC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/CBC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/CBC.
Take us through this next story because I'm kind of confused and I feel like Nick is also, and I just, can you just help us out?
Yeah. I started watching the show. Honestly, I had planned on watching it.
This.
And then once the story came out, I was like, okay, I have to watch. And let me tell you.
Some shit.
Wow.
I sent you a Snapchat. I was like, the amount of dicks I've seen in my life just like quadrupled really? From watching one episode. Yeah. It's like, I didn't know they could put that on TV. It was
but
wild.
But it's HBO.
Yeah.
I just, so, I didn't realize. It was a lot, let me tell you.
A lot of full frontal?
Oh, full everything.
Full frontal.
Yeah, like full, yeah. It's, I have not
wait,
seen.
Wait, like they're having sex? Like, is it a porno, basically?
No, it's like, there's this one scene where they're like in the locker room. And it's like a men's locker room.
And he's
and like
kind of
everyone's
on the ledge
like, no,
like
every, it was like, it was like,
pose.
It was like 30 guys in the locker room naked.
She sent me a Snapchat. I was like, what are you? I was like, that's
she
what you're
comes
into?
In and the first thing. Yeah, she's like, she's like, you're into that? I'm like, no, it's TV.
I thought you were like air playing Pornhub on the TV. I was like,
what do you guys think about that? Like, are you on the, well, it's art, whatever, but is at some point it's like, did they really need to do this to like, get the point across of whatever it is they're trying to get across.
I have to say,
that
up until,
guys are naked in locker rooms.
Yeah, the point in, during the show, kind of, it like makes sense in the scene, but it was definitely, I didn't have an issue with it by any means. I was just like a little shocked because I've never seen that much nudity in a TV show from guys. Girls, it's like whatever.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
Isn't that weird?
That we're more in, like the norm, I guess.
Did you enjoy it? Or was it uncomfortable? What was
no,
the thought?
No, it wasn't.
That didn't turn you on. There's no way.
No, yeah. It wasn't uncomfortable though.
No. But we also like I could totally see someone being offended. We're like the least easily offended.
Offended
slash,
how?
Yeah,
like not offended, but just like uncomfortable by that is what I mean. We're just not like that. We're really comfortable with all that kind of stuff.
It's just kind of funny how like even women would you know. Be kind of like weird, you know, or guy if again like if it's like a old like 80s movie where like there's a random like you know ski school two you know
right,
and there's
right,
a
right.
locker room full of naked chicks like guys are just like you know as an 18-year-old guy you're just rewinding it
right,
over and over
right.
and just be like this is the greatest thing ever you know
no totally well I can confirm that was not the case last night when Julie was watching
she watched
there was
in,
no
she
rewinding
was like, there was no rewinding she was like what are you? I was like, no, it's a TV show. I was like, no, it's not my. I didn't choose this. It wasn't like I was scrolling and I was like, page 73, this is perfect. Like,
no, it's podcast research. So tell us
so
the whole controversy.
There's a scene in it which is about Harry Styles and Louis Tomlinson, who, if you remember, there were all these rumors when One Direction was together that they were together specifically. Mm-hmm. And it got like really out of hand at a certain point because all of these like fans, like, quote, like, shipped them together and started, like, writing these fan fiction, like, really graphic scenes about them having sex. So in Euphoria, which is the show that I feel like we haven't even – I feel like we went through a whole thing about, like, I've seen so many dicks on this show, and then, like, there was no mention of the show. So if you're trying
to – By
the
way, it's called Euphoria.
It's called Euphoria, and it's Zendaya's show. It's really amazing and really, like crazy. But anyways, one of the scenes featured, I think it was like a dream that she was having where she was writing the fan fiction and it like featured a scene of Harry like performing oral sex on Louis backstage at a One Direction concert. And people kind of were like really shocked that they had shown this. It was like, I think it was a cartoon. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten to the episode yet, so don't quote me. But people were really shocked that they were showing this. And they were like, I wonder if Harry and Louis had signed off on this, because it seems very invasive to have this scene of them.
And
that was like,
not.
And they have not. So Louis said, he was like, he tweeted and was like, somebody said, just going to sit here and, a fan said, just going to sit here and hope that they for some reason approved it, because surely they had to get it aired. Harry seems quite friendly with the people involved, but you can tell Louis's not going to like it. And Louis responded and said, I can categorically say I was not contacted, nor did I approve it. Harry hasn't commented on it yet. But this was like, I don't know if you remember when they were together, like it like caused a rift in their friendship because people kept, it was like, it got uncomfortable for them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, from an outsider's point of view, it sounds kind of shitty. Because again, regardless of what their sexual preference is, whether gay or straight, I mean, maybe they are in a relationship. Well, then in a way, like HBO, the writers are in a weird way calling them out when they've decided they're not ready to be outed, right?
So right.
Like they've taken, and if they're straight, like you can still be, part of the team, pro, gay marriage, but like still like if you're straight, you want to be identified as straight, and you can be straight. And if everyone's calling you gay with your like best guy friend, like you don't, like, I'm really close to a lot of guy friends, and there's a real love there. And I have guy friends who became, man, I love you, man,
mm-hmm.
But like, especially if you're in the public eye, you don't want necessarily fans to be, it's one thing if you're secure in your relationship and someone says, oh, you guys are gay, and like you're so close, like you don't care. But let's assume millions of fans are now creating cartoon pornos of, that would be frustrating. And that could, that would be like, we can't like, as friends, hug each other, put your arm around I say I love you, man, at a con. Oh, I heard that one of them said I love you. And now you're like, it's weird. And so they're playing into that narrative that regardless of what the truth is, they've clearly haven't shown a willingness to talk about it or have denied it.
Right.
So you're kind of, you're putting them, you're calling them out, and you're putting them on blast in a way.
I think the idea of what they were doing, and I get what you're saying because that's how I felt too, but I think from the HBO perspective, their idea of it was like, oh, let's capitalize on this really nostalgic thing that fans remember. And as like a teenage girl, like all these girls went through this thing where they were like, let's read the Harry Louis fan fiction. It's like,
I get that, but
no, I'm agreeing with you. I think that it's
I definitely believe that they were trying to capitalize for sure.
If there was permission involved, it would have been a whole different narrative.
Totally. Yeah.
Also, my thing is like, they worked so hard or were so happy when this finally died. Yeah. Like finally, and now they're reigniting it. To me, that just doesn't seem right. Again, we don't know the details, but we do know that it wasn't approved.
It's
because he said it.
Yeah, very reminiscent of Karlie Kloss and Taylor Swift, how a lot of people suspect that the reason that they're not friends anymore is because fans made it so uncomfortable by like suspecting they're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe not being friends anymore is being like, we can't really like hang out publicly or be seen because like neither of them. And again, you don't even know the variables. Maybe they're each individually dating someone who is kind of frustrated by, regardless if it's another, a female or a male, it's just like, if you were in a relationship, you don't want rumors that someone's dating someone else,
mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. You can be like, babe, I know it's crazy or whatever, but eventually it takes its toll, it gets frustrating. And so the only way sometimes to get rumors to stop is to avoid certain situations.
It's nothing different than even if this wasn't, even if it was like, think about it. If you're dating a guy and let's say he's famous and everybody's linking him to this other famous woman, it's the same kind of thing. And after, even if you're secure in your relationship, it takes a toll. It really does.
Lady Gaga, I mean, look at, Bradley Cooper and Irina. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying that they split because of that, but the tension definitely didn't help.
That was the whole discussion we were having, that it doesn't necessarily mean that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper had to be together for it to cause a rift. It's any sort of
intense speculation
or like creating an insecurity or finding that weak spot in a relationship and exploiting it that could cause it. They could have never even touched off camera, but it still created some sort of an insecurity in their relationship.
It's tough. Like Bachelor Nation, for every season there's like these, people have these teams, I stan this person, whatever, mm-hmm. they and certain relationships. And so every season, even if the league kind of picks a fan favorite, so mm-hmm. to speak, usually when it's down to the final two, there's certain teams, and it's just like, oh, you should, and every winner go through a period of time of comments riddled on their Instagram, and certainly there's a lot of positive ones, but they only see the negatives,
of course,
right?
Of course.
And it's always like, he should have picked so-and-so and whatever. And regardless of if the leads is like, I honestly didn't really even, like, it was always you. And it really, and they even believe it. It's just, you, to have other people root for a different relationship doesn't exist, it takes its toll. Like, it's like, it can really mess with you. And I can only imagine, like, the Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper situation. Fans truly obsessed with that fictional relationship, you know, it's wild.
That
it's
was like, some shit.
Yeah, it's like Bieber, Haley, and Selena. Haley Baldwin or Haley Bieber shut her comments off on her Instagram because it was like, I mean, she hasn't publicly said that, but I imagine because she's spoken so openly about the comments she was getting that she just couldn't handle it anymore. It's like she's so secure in her relationship, but all of these people are coming at her like, he should have ended up with Selena. Yeah. Like, it's straight up bullying at that point.
Yeah, it takes its toll. Yeah. It's just like, well, you want people to believe in your relationship, you know?
Totally.
Like, you want people, you know.
Even as the person, like, I feel like you can relate to this being the person, not the other. Like, you know, the person that was choosing. I'm sure, like, after you chose Vanessa, that was a whole...
Yeah, you want people to root for you.
You want people to root for you, exactly.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
No, completely. The next story that we want to talk about is Halle Bailey from Chloe and Halle was cast as the Little Mermaid. So
I'm super intrigued by this story.
Very.
First of all, we are just like really big fans of hers, and I cannot.
I went
wait
off
to talk
on Ease Instagram with
in a comment.
Yeah, I, honestly, when I first saw the casting, I was like, cool. I gave it like really no thought.
Right.
You know, it's like neat. Sure, she seems pretty. I'm guessing she can sing. I didn't really know who she was at the time. And then, like, 4 days later, you start, like, apparently a lot of people are pissed. And I was blown away. Like, maybe I just take it for granted just how far we haven't come still. But it's just, like, why do people give a shit?
It's one of those things
where...
It's
a mermaid.
It's, well, right. It's like you're upset about a fictional character being different than the original made up already. I can't. It's like,
it's wild.
Let's just, for anybody confused, let me give a background as to who we're talking about. So this is Halle Bailey. She is from Chloe and Halle. She's 19 years old. She stars in Grown-ish, and she's half of the duo Chloe and Halle. That's her older sister, Chloe. So what's interesting here is that Beyoncé is their mentor because they
manager.
Covered.
Manager. Or yeah, she signed that mentor but signed her to the, her management company, not her direct manager. But yeah.
She saw, they covered her song Pretty Hurts. And she like noticed them and basically took them under her wing. Mm-hmm. And now they're signed with her. So they're very talented, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so they received, you know, I mean, a lot of people were celebrating it because it's such an amazing thing.
I would say
opinion.
Most people were celebrating it, just the people that weren't were screaming louder than everybody else.
On ridiculous, disgusting things like Ariel has to be white. I can't even wrap my head around that mindset, truthfully. No, that's what you're saying. I know you
totally
can't either.
Totally kind of blown away. And I'm not some sort of, like, activist or, you know, it's just more like, really? You guys care?
Right. It was.
It was absurd to me.
And there was a tweet I retweeted, and again, it's just surprising because, like, not to mention it is a fictional character. Truly, it's a mermaid.
Yeah. You know, it's yeah, not it's like you want to be upset about something not being real? It's a mermaid.
Yeah, like... But whatever. But like there was, I forgot who it was, but I think it was an actress or something. It was, referencing Ariel, the original cartoon character. And she was saying, maybe it was some girl, I don't know. She was saying, I'm a redhead, you know. And as a redhead, you know, when I was young, I was subject to jokes and, you know, the kind of those stereotypes.
The South Park gingers have no soul.
And,
yeah.
And Ariel, the redheaded cartoon fake mermaid, made it cool to be a redhead. And, you know, to say that, like, here we are casting a young black woman, and now we're giving an opportunity for another different minority group, but a minority group nonetheless. Like, she was, like, happy for the casting for that reason. And again, for all the people who, like, it's just, like, the little bit I've looked into it is their argument is they're just diehard Disney fans and they want the authenticity and that makes them not racist in their minds. I don't know.
whatever they need to do to justify that.
But I'm just thinking, logic. Even if that were true, even if your dedication to the authenticity of a Disney character, like, isn't the positive opportunity that's going to bring a minority group in, like, the kind of a platform to have someone that, like, a young black girl could, like, aspire and look up to, and the positivity that's going to bring from a just overall, isn't that, doesn't outweigh your,
you would think.
It's just wild to me that there's no, It's like, no, it blows my mind.
You're preaching to the choir. I mean, that's exactly, Chrissy Teigen commented on it. It was like, I'm so excited that my little Luna is going to be able to see some of herself in a Disney princess.
Yes. It's amazing.
Also, where do they think the original's going? You don't like this one? Pop the other one
pop
in.
Pop the other one on.
Like, you don't fine. Have to watch this one. No one's asked. It's just the most ridiculous. And the thing is that I feel like I'm so jaded by what I see online is because as soon as I saw this, I went, great, amazing. This is going to have backlash and it's ridiculous. And I knew it as soon as I saw it because if you remember when Idris Elba was being cast as James Bond, it was all that backlash. It's like, why? It's a fictional character.
Let me
ask you
this. I think he'd be an amazing
James
Bond because he's like hot and a man's man. And like, I'm like, he gets me going, you know?
I get it.
But do you think there was the other argument they were talking about, like, what if they casted a woman as James Bond? Is that the same, or because that character is, and the thing about James Bond, the character is a misogynistic guy. Mm-hmm. How does that, like, what would your thoughts
my
be
opinion,
on that?
In my opinion, that changes. As somebody who's watched James Bond, my dad's a huge James Bond fan, so I always grew up with the movies, and from that perspective, it changes the story. It's not meaning that they couldn't do a story with a female James Bond-like character
who goes on.
First of all, it's not like I'm saying that it would be illogical because you can't have a female spy who does all of these cool shit.
And
that's not it.
She
it's just
hook up with
hottest guy. It just would be a different movie and a different narrative. But changing someone's skin color, all it does is change the skin color, and it's so ridiculous to me that people care so deeply about this that they're willing to create an argument about it. And it's like, first of all, how much easier is it to just be happy for a person than it is to like be upset about a fictional character? It's just it boggles my mind.
No, really, it's fascinating because it's like, what are you? It's just boredom. It's. Just,
and, I mean, I just don't. It's
racism.
It's racism.
But to give a shit, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, and those are the people who are like, you know, I'm not racist, but kind of thing.
Yeah, right. It's like you're racist, no but.
But like, even if everything else in your life is, you never thought you had a racist thought, but to voice like, don't you have pause and go, you know, the casting happens, and maybe your thought is like, oh, they casted a woman of color to play Ariel. Huh? You know, like, and then you kind of, don't you go, I'm just going to keep this one to myself because, you know, like, do you really going to like, what is it? Like, it's a mermaid. Why can't a mermaid be a black girl?
Like what you're saying, it's literally a foreign thought process for us to even understand that.
Have they casted Ariel's father or mother? Mother. Ooh, that would be wild. Because in The Mermaid, you'd never see Ariel's mother.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Melissa McCarthy is Ursula, and
people are going to lose their shit if they cast a white, because technically they could be, right? You know, you could have a mixed family.
If you're not seeing
you wouldn't know, and you don't see the mother. Great. Like, but people, like, it's so sad.
Now I just want Disney to, like, really give it to them. Like,
Double
down. Like, for these people, fucking grow up.
Let me tell you something.
Tell me.
Ursula? Lizzo was robbed of that role.
Yeah.
Lizzo was robbed. If you want to be angry about something, be angry about that. Because Lizzo deserved that shit.
Did she want it?
Yeah, she did. She tweeted something and was like, I think she was kidding. And people really, I think she was giving into like kind of a fan thing that everyone wanted her to be Ursula. So when she wasn't Ursula, I don't know if it was like she went for the role and didn't get it. I think she was just giving into the fan thing. But it was like, how amazing would she? I mean, Melissa McCarthy's going to be incredible. She is one of the funniest back actresses.
I think that's a good cast. I DM'd Lizzo trying to get her on my podcast. I have not heard about her.
She's there's no bigger Lizzo fan. tell me any role and I'll be like, Lizzo should have been in that.
No,
Bond with Lizzo? Lizzo.
Last week when I literally...
Emma woke me up in the morning and she goes, hey, you up? And I was like, now I am. She was like, I'm just feeling really inspired by Lizzo this morning. I'm like, okay, can you tell me that in an hour when I'm actually up?
I just really support her, like, intensely.
No, she's great. She's on her way up. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad you brought that. I am fascinated by that story. And it's not fascinated in a great way. It's just more.
I'm dumbfounded by it.
It's a unfortunate reminder of just
where we are
and where we because I think sometimes with progress, you know, there's a lot of great things happening, and then you're like, you kind of get like, wow, we're really we're really doing things, and then all of a sudden it's like a cold hard we're not anymore yet. No, we are, but like, it's still a fucking mermaid, people,
you know, like, chill.
It's gonna create way more positives than your collection of, like, sorry you have to, like, get a little black model and you're racist and it's going to have to be a person of color. But, like,
it's I don't absurd. Get it. I don't no, get it. No. I completely.
It's wild.
To us, kudos, Disney, because you did a good job. Yeah. Moving on to the next story. So Alex Morgan, in the World Cup final, obviously, Alex Morgan kicked the winning goal to beat England. And she celebrated her victory by doing, like, the sipping tea motion. Mm-hmm. And she received so much backlash that it was disrespectful to Brits and was making fun of their culture. And, of course, because God forbid anybody does anything and people don't get offended.
Seriously, so, God forbid. It's, like, unbelievable.
So she explained it, and she says, and I quote, "My celebration was actually more about that's the tea, which is telling a story, spreading news." And then she said, "Sophie Turner does it quite often. She's one of my favorite actresses, so it wasn't a hit to England in any way. This was my favorite thing ever." Sophie Turner gets on her Instagram story, and she's like, she literally says she interrupts her honeymoon for this. And she goes, "Okay, I'm on my honeymoon. I'm not really looking at my phone much, but I feel like this deserves a mention. Unfortunately, the UK women's football team lost at the World Cup. And of course, I'm incredibly sad and incredibly proud of that team. But I am so honored that we lost to such an incredible team, the US women's football team. Alex Morgan, all the haters that are saying that this was disrespectful, I'm honored that you thought of me, and all those people that are hating on you are probably sitting at home, millennials drinking kombucha." And she writes, "And I'm really fucking proud of you, Alex Morgan. Congratulations on your winning." And that's the motherfucking tea. And then she drank her wine and just, yeah, amen to that one. Also, we really saw the ring up close and personal.
Oh, the ring.
Talk about guessing going. I had to watch it
three times because I was like, oh, wait, she was speaking and it wasn't just about.
She was really flexing all while defending
Sophie Turner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's
beautiful.
The best way to flex.
Yeah.
I love Sophie Turner. I think she is. I can't. I'm obsessed with her. Every time she does this, like, Instagram story thing. Remember when Macy Williams had that scene in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
And she, like, went on Instagram and was like, "You motherfucking did it." Like, it was, she's just so good. I
know.
Can't.
She's good. Are you a fan of hers?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that I'm, but she's great. I don't know. She's a really talented actor. And
totally.
Yeah.
She seems like a cool hang.
She's just chill. I don't know. That's just the vibe that I get from her. Yeah. Just really chill.
I think that's what you kind of want with all your stars or celebrities is, like, you know, are they normal? You know?
Right.
Like, the more in touch with, like, reality, yeah. I think the more cool of a hang you think. That, like, I think that's what makes Christy Teigen so popular.
Totally.
Like, you're just like, God, she's just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Where, like, if she was out of touch, you would kind of be like, it makes sense, you know, like, yeah. You expect them to be out of touch,
totally.
And yet they're not. I think,
right.
You know.
Her realness is what draws people to her.
Yeah.
Actually, what a, again, unplanned and seamless transition. We just wanted to touch, this isn't news, we just have to say it, that Chrissy Teigen was on vacation with her John Legend and then their best friends, Jen Atkin and Mike Rosenthal in Italy for this past week, which is, for everybody that follows, the reason we didn't have a Sunday night Teigen roundup is because Chrissy didn't tweet. Like, I love when people are, like, coming at us, like, no roundup. It's like, our roundup is entirely dependent on whether or not Chrissy tweets. When she's, like, in the Italian Riviera, the last thing she's thinking about is Twitter. Like, I don't know what you want from us. It's so funny.
I have to say, I was thinking about this because she never tweets on vacation. It's like, I know that if she's on vacation, there's not going to be a tweet. I wonder if her and John, or just she has a rule with herself that she's not going to go on Twitter while they're on vacation. Because Chrissy's addicted to Twitter, and she's very open about that. So I wonder if that's, like, a thing. Like, it's like, okay, we're on break. No Twitter for me.
Ooh, interesting. Now I want to ask her. What do you think?
Maybe.
Do you see how intensely we take these situations? Like, we take pop culture, we analyze the fuck out of it. You're like,
which again just makes, is it that you don't watch The Bachelor kind of blows my mind, or, like, you know, Bachelor, we're kind of the slum of celebrity.
No,
and, like,
it's
the
not
Teigens
that.
Of the world, is that it? Or
no,
because
no.
Like, it's
I know,
it's amazing how in tuned you are, and yet, like,
yeah, I don't know if there's a, like, overtly specific reason that we don't watch. We just never
tried.
Got into it.
I sat down with Colton Seas and I was like, I'm going to make this one happen. I'm going to do it. And I just couldn't do it.
You know what I think it is for me is, like, every so often I'll watch, like, an episode. Like, I watched a lot of Colton Seas because my mom is really into it and my sister, like, literally when my sister was like, make sure you say Nick, tell Nick I say hi. Like, she loves it. It's like, she loves it and my mom loves it too. But I found that was like, okay, the season was over. And then I would move on. And it was like, there was no, I like the attachment of celebrities. I find that, like, when we're talking about a news story, it's a lot, like, it's repetitive and it's Chrissy's always in the news, or, you know, the Kardashians always in the news. With Bachelor, obviously, yourself excluded and on a decent number of, I just fall, you know, it's like, okay, I love this person. And then they're gone the next minute. So
yeah,
it's hard.
Weird. The Bachelor is, the show's evolving in that sense because historically it's been this whole like right reasons thing. And so, you know, especially, you know, now with the introduction of Paradise, but when I came on a second season and went far, that was like a no-no in a sense. So a lot of, he's had his chance. A lot of people will say that, like, even when Colton was cast as The Bachelor, I was like, oh my God, he went on Paradise and now he's The Bachelor. And yet, like, fans, like, they love it, but they want to hate on it. And right. It's this whole thing. So the show, you know, with Paradise, it gives them the opportunity. And that's why, like, people have been able to get to know certain cast members, as opposed to before, like, a one and done situation, because, like,
right,
they're only there for love and they can't, you know, then it becomes disingenuous. So that's, I get that.
I will say that I follow Catherine Lowe and I mean, Sean Lowe and Catherine very closely, because really? I think they have just, I mean, like, I didn't watch his season. I watched his wedding when they had it, and I just, like, think they have such an amazing relationship, and I think he's very funny and very good on social media, and I've just, like, become very attached to, not attached, but very interested in their family and really? Big fan of their family. So I don't know if that has anything to do with The Bachelor, but I like them as people, I will say.
Okay.
We're stopping to tell you guys about OpenFit. Are you looking for fitspiration? Are you spending hours on the internet trying to find the best workout plan for you? Summer is here, but there's still time to get yourself beach ready by letting the workouts come to you. Getting fit and staying healthy has never been easier than with OpenFit. The thing about OpenFit is that it really takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. They have so many different options. So, for example, you can work out with amazing trainers like Andrea Rogers. She's the founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, which is amazing from personal experience. Or their newest workout, which is Rough Around the Edges with 6 of the most badass stunt women in the business. You no longer have to have that anxiety or worry about other people watching you feel workout or feeling pressure to keep up. None of that, because you're in the comfort of your own home or wherever you are, and it's super convenient. Also, it's affordable and accessible. So, you know, if you are going on vacation, for example, you're worried that you won't have a gym, you can do it on your computer, your web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, even Roku. And some places only sell classes as a package, and often you can't make it to every class. So OpenFit brings the class to you. It's a really cost-effective option. So listen, OpenFit has totally changed the way we work out, and texting our code COMMENTS to 303030, you can join us on our fitness journey personalized just for you. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit when you text COMMENTS to 303030. You will get full access to OpenFit, all of the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text COMMENTS to 303030. Standard message and data rates may apply. Okay, now back to the show. I want to ask you, because we just got inundated, and so we did our research enough to have a relatively intelligent conversation about this season before we get into any questions for you specifically. So I guess there's a lot of drama with Luke, is what I've gathered, mm-hmm. right? He seems to be the season villain. And she's now down to the final four. Can you just give us, like, a general overview as to your thoughts, number one, on him, and number two, of, like, where you think she's at right now?
Well, I think this is one of the best seasons they've had in a long time.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Tell us
specifically
more.
The Bachelorette, if you were, but just in general, it's a great season. I think what's interesting about this season is that the villain Luke is one of the better villains they've had in the, again, this, when you say a villain in the TV sense, but she's truly into him, mm-hmm. you know? And I think this season is bringing up a lot of relatable topics that are that, like, in pop culture, not even pop culture, but in the world, when it comes to, like, sex and religion. And I think that's what's fascinating, you know, like sexism, misogyny, and things like that. And Luke is demonstrating a lot of those kind of things. In fairness, I've been very critical of Luke mm-hmm. throughout the season. As the season progresses, I'm not less critical, but I can at least understand
right.
him a little bit more, not to excuse it. But, like, Luke is someone who is very religious and open about his religion. I grew up Catholic. He's grown up, it seems, more like Christian, not Catholic. He's not Catholic. I know that much. And so he's all in. Whether it's, he looks like a guy who doesn't really know who he is, right? Where he was kind of a party guy or active, and then, like, found God, and mm-hmm. then decided to, like, become righteous. And you see that a lot with people who are now, you know, who are born again, and they just are very outwardly spoken about their religion, but there's sometimes some hypocrisy with mm-hmm. some of the things that they say. And I think he's pretty young. He's 24. And then with that comes the way he articulates himself, or poorly, is he says a lot of things that come across as very judgmental and shaming, mm-hmm. whether he's meaning to do that or not, not to excuse him, but that's how he's coming across. And then he flip-flops a lot, you know? So then he also looks like someone who doesn't, he's just really, it seems like a guy who's trying to figure out himself and trying to live to the level that right. he's decided he wants to be, whether mm-hmm. it's sincere or, you know, I don't know. Like, and so that's, and then all the guys hate him kind of thing. And so it's fascinating that way. She's done a good job of, equally so, is that she also talks about her faith, which I think is fascinating. But she also, like, in getting to know her, she's someone who has a very, I think, progressive bone in her body.
Yeah.
And I think as she evolves and sees more of the world, I think she will only become more progressive. I grew up very traditional, and then as I've gotten older, I've become way more progressive. And mm-hmm. I think she's been a voice for a lot of young women to kind of show that you can talk, you know, have that dichotomy about like having a faith-based life, but also not feel judged by having more progressive viewpoints and things like that. And I think that's been the focus of the season. I find that very fascinating.
It is. It's like a juxtaposition in a way. You know, we got a lot of questions. I get this whole drama regarding the windmill sex and how, you know, I guess she was being slut-shamed. And
yeah, well, there's still a lot of...
A lot of, right. And it was brought to Caitlin's attention, right? And Caitlin kind of came out basically saying, like, why are we joining in this narrative? Like, we should be celebrating this, and who are we to whatever? People were saying that it was drawing a lot of similarities to her season mm-hmm. when she was slut-shamed. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I see it. I mean, when the preview came out about this whole windmill thing, I don't know why people thought this, because the show never even, I mean, also it's a preview, so it's a teaser, so you never know mm-hmm. what context, but everyone just assumed, regardless, it assumed that this potential sex was before the fantasy suite, as if that means anything.
Yeah.
Because like when Caitlin and I had that moment on her season, it wasn't in the fantasy suite,
right.
and people lost their shit. Because it wasn't in the fantasy. Like, what's the difference? It was literally 9 days before. And what, like, some made-up name by TV producers to call something a fantasy makes it okay or something? Like,
right. if it's so, almost weirder that to specifically wait for one night of one episode where you're allowed to, and everyone... That was always weird for me when I was watching The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. It was like, you have, you know, one night that all... three, right? People have that same experience, and it's like not every time do they choose to go through with it, but it's always seemed weird to me to wait for the one specific night where all the other people were also waiting for that one specific night.
It's weird, yeah. And it's again, I think sometimes we give too much credit to we hear it, you know, the trolls and the negative people are always the loudest, right? And so that's what we respond to. We don't usually know the faces and the names behind the people who are throwing out this judgment and criticism, you know. And it's a shame that you get a lot of positive, you know, the positive people. Like most people just don't have the time. They watch The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was really entertaining, and they move on with their lives. And they might at work be like, oh, that was a really good episode.
Right.
They're not like going on Twitter and losing their minds, you know. Even if it's positive, they might watch and go, oh, good for Hannah, you know, good for her, wow,
totally.
But like that's it ends there with a negative person who's judging, or you know, who's decided they, you know, they don't want to have sex. You know, that happens a lot when people like that. The Luke character is kind of like that. Like people make these decisions for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They decide for whatever reason. Maybe it's maybe they had a bit of a drinking problem and they've decided not to drink. Right? Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So now when they see other people drinking, they're the first ones like sometimes point fingers mm-hmm. and be like, oh, you shouldn't do this. And people do that sometimes. Like they get real judgmental and righteous because they've decided
totally.
To fix their life.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they struggled with weight and so they got really healthy and mm-hmm. now they're eating and exercising right. And then like someone like bites into a Twinkie and they're just like, do you know what's in that? Or blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't do that. You know what you're doing to your body? And dude's like,
what the fuck?
Leave me, you know,
yeah.
like people do that a lot. So, and it's a shame. There's a double standard with men and women, you know, like no one would ever do that with The Bachelor. No one ever did that to me all the times. Like my season, they casted a girl, the producers, who knew that we hooked up at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
They brought her on, and I was, you know, I wasn't thrilled that they did that because I was pretty clear with the producers that, like, just so you know, I heard kind of rumors of it, so I just said to the producers, there's no one in my life that I've ever dated or hung out with that I want to marry.
Right.
So knowing that this is a show about hopefully me getting engaged, I just want you to know that.
Right.
So anyways, she shows up, and it's fine. And it was the first two episodes was about, I went to a wedding and had a one night stand. No one said anything. No one said shit.
Right.
It was surprising. It was like, yeah, Nick fucks.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, uh-huh. And it's wild that, you know, Hannah and Caitlin got it bad. It's fascinating. Caitlin's done a really good job of being herself. I truly believe that Hannah will be remembered as one of the better bachelorettes for this very reason, that she's kind of steadfast with who she is, and she's going to unfortunately get this negative criticism. But I think over time, she'll be remembered as a very positive and a, like, someone who actually moved the bar. Mm-hmm. And I think Caitlin did that, and because of those same reasons, that she was like, I'm authentically myself, and Hannah's that way. And she'll be more of a role model, and then the haters will just kind of go away and mm-hmm. hate on something else. You know, some other Disney casting or whatever.
No, I feel you on that one. I also just always find it interesting, because it's like, if you're really choosing to spend your life with this person, or apparently so, don't you want to know what they're like in bed? Like, what the hell? I never,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's such an antiquated
mindset.
Do you
think, I mean, yes and no. I mean, it's yes, I think, but technically, I think you want to know what the equipment looks like and if it works, and if you have good physical chemistry. I think technically you could probably do that without having sex, in a sense.
You could. I take that back. I couldn't.
You don't think so? If you got a chance to look, you know, just to observe the equipment, yeah, so uh-huh. to speak.
I hear you.
And you, like, when, every time you make out, or you're like going to first mm-hmm. and second base, it's hot. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have a good, like, you're communicating. I mean, do you really think you'd have bad sex with that person?
Wait, that's not the question. Is the question, do I think I would have bad sex, or do I think that I could get engaged without having sex?
I guess either. Well, because wouldn't the only thing you'd be worried about is, like, what if my sex life is bad with this person?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Listen, you're totally right. I think the chemistry can be there, and I think in a lot of times that's indicative of a really healthy sex life. I guess I just, for me, it's so much more than just does it work. It's so much more like the actual emotional connection when you're, like, physically having sex.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I
don't know.
I generally think, like, the first time you have sex with anyone should never be the best sex you two ever have.
Of course. Ideally. No.
You can have,
literally, God forbid.
I think there's some people who are comfortable in their skin, mm-hmm. so, like, they're generally, like, probably pretty good, mm-hmm. whatever, because they're just more... they're comfortable, mm-hmm.
but it's not connection based.
Ideally, you communicate, and you're just like, you feel more comfortable to be like, what do you like? What do you like? And you kind of figure each other out. So I guess what I'm saying is, in that sense, if you have a strong physical connection and you have the confidence that you can communicate with someone, technically, I think, I would, having been in that situation.
Well, do you think you could marry somebody having not had sex with them
first? Well, are we talking about engaged or married? Or,
let's say engaged. It gives you an out, so I guess what's the difference between engaged and dating? Do you think you could, like, commit to being with someone for the rest of your life before knowing what they're like in bed?
Actual intercourse.
Yes. Actual intercourse.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be worried. If this is all assuming that we still have a physical relationship.
Of course, yeah.
And we've seen each other naked. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm physically attracted. Mm-hmm. We're physically attracted to how we look. We definitely have a, you know, strong physical connection. So just the act of actual sex wouldn't something I would really worry about.
I think it's very different as a guy. Do you?
I think that I think that's a generalization, but I agree, honestly.
I think it's I'm trying to think if I want to word this. I think it's easier as a guy to be like, okay, it'll just get better. But as a girl, it's like, I think it's a much more specific science. Is that the way to word it?
Have you ever messed around with a guy that before you had sex, foreplay was awesome, just great, and then you had sex and it just one and one didn't equal two? Like, how?
Yeah, I have.
And it wasn't about his dick size.
Right. No, I hear
you. It's rarely that's what it comes down to. I don't think personally.
You think it comes down to dick size?
No, I'm saying I don't think it does.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I just feel like if a guy is generally considerate about, like, foreplay and doing all that stuff,
yeah,
and reading a room or a situation, like, and, you know, he's, you know, adequately set up, like, how do you suck?
No, hold on. I think that I need to be clear with my point. I hear you completely. And to me, it's less about sucking because I think that there's always room for improvement. Like you said, the first time should never be the best. For me, it's that I expect that when I'm physically having sex with someone that there should be some sort of like emotional spark. And it's possible that even with really good foreplay leading up, that when you actually engage, that's isn't that what we're saying?
It's not, it's not, it like, doesn't connect in the
same
way.
You know what, like right before you're like that, could not happen even if you're having.
I feel like maybe that's a gender difference.
That's what I'm saying, that I think it is. I think it is. Which is really interesting.
I've never had, I can't say I've ever had the moment, like, I mean, I've certainly have had, this is great, you know, and I'm, you know, but I get what you're saying, but maybe that's a difference.
It's an interesting thing. Between men and women. Yeah. I don't know. It's I mean, this is like our favorite thing. It's an interesting thing to think about. Who knows?
Which is interesting enough, more fascinating that, you know, women are only ones between men and women who get judged for wanting to maybe explore that more, where the guys are like, well, I'm fine either way, you know, but yet they sleep with all these women. And no one says shit.
Yeah, it's a wild double standard that I cannot wait to
But it's also a double standard, too, about, like, if a guy... There's been previews next about, like, Hannah sending Luke home. And, again, we don't know the context, or and there's maybe a lot more said, but when a guy expresses that sex does meaning something to him, like, there is that also a double standard of he's not manly.
No, like, you're so right.
Because, again, there's a difference between shaming a woman for having sex and a guy saying, listen, you do what you want and I support you, but, like, this means something to me, so I just want to wait, or I want to not do this or whatever. Like, that's also okay. He's not shaming a woman.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with
it.
Colton's whole season was the him having to constantly explain that he was a virgin. And it, you're right, it is different. Whereas if the Bachelorette was a virgin, it would be like, oh, she's a virgin.
Yeah. I think it would be, they'd still make it a story, but it was a much bigger story.
I don't know. I feel like with, yeah, it would be a story, but it wouldn't have been as invasive.
Yeah. I mean,
or I don't think
they've had
other,
like when, you know, but to Ashley Iaconetti was a virgin and Becca Tilly was a virgin when they were first on, and they did enough to talk about it on their season for two people who weren't leads. So, but with, I mean, it was every episode on Colton's season.
Yeah.
It was like, we get it.
Also, I think it's also from like a more like larger picture societal view of like guys being virgins versus girls being virgins.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, totally. Like with Colton, it was always like, why? Like, there had to be a reason why he was a virgin. And I think with women, I think people wonder why less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just doesn't want to.
Oh. Right.
Okay. End of conversation.
End of conversation.
Or she's waiting.
And Colton's
okay.
Like, but why?
Yeah.
But no, but why? Like, there has to be some big reasons.
No, so. It's so true.
Yeah.
I have to do these Bachelor fans justice in asking you some more Hannah questions that you just alluded to. People want to know if you think that Luke staying this long was truthfully because she was, you know, so infatuated and potentially manipulated by his behavior, or was really a producer coy.
In this case, I absolutely think I think Luke's her person, like she, I think Luke was this was Luke's to lose. He had every opportunity, if he doesn't win, and I don't think he will based off of the previous show. I think there's a real connection there, and you see Hannah truly struggling with someone. And in fairness to Hannah, especially Hannah, because like the lead always gets criticized for the people they keep. Like fans will literally judge you, and they actually judge men more. They're more critical of the guys and like the there are more women watch the show, and so when a bachelor keeps women around, that they're like they don't see themselves in them or whatever, and they, you know, they will judge the lead. But every lead gets judged for the people they keep around. But like, what, you know, really, like, what if we all dated someone whose like family or friends didn't love them, and imagine a camera being on them, and then we got to judge every action. Also, like, we, in fairness to Luke, we don't get to see everything about him. I don't think Luke's a bad guy. I think Luke is ignorant, and I think he comes from a very small world. I think he's young. I do think 10 years from now, Luke could be a very different person. You know, he might, maybe this is a learning opportunity for him. And I do think those two really liked each other, and I think I said this when I was Hannah on my podcast. If Hannah goes to a bar in Alabama and those 30 guys show up, Luke's the only guy she sees. Luke's the guy she's going home with. Those guys don't even exist.
Right.
And so, yeah, I really think this is a very sincere situation. Other situations, other seasons, like the producers, I've always said, the producers never make you send someone home that you still think there's a chance you could end up with them. Right?
Right. Right.
But, you know, keeping other people around who are entertaining and good TV, that happens as long as you don't have to sacrifice people that you still are considering ending up with.
Right.
Right?
Which makes a lot of sense.
What are the chances you're really into seven people at once?
Right. How many were you into at once?
I mean, what? I mean, I would say every season, every season, the lead is at most only really into two. And I mean, where like there's real feelings of love being shared between cast members. Like you, like the top four, like three or four, it's like they like them, they're into them, it's cool, they think they're nice. There's a lot of mutual respect there,
but it's not.
But it's they right. know it's and there's like last season on Becca's season, there was this guy named Blake who didn't. He was the second, and he was crushed. You know, he was fine. He got out of it, but in that moment, he really. He felt real feelings for her. And that only happens with two. And that only happens with two because I think the lead's only capable of really at most really being like, these are two guys I can't stop thinking about. And the third person, he's great and he's sweet. And I like making out with him or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And that's you know, and I think Cass kind of senses that.
Yeah. I think you're spot on, actually. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But I think this season's unique because I think she really is into Luke. And if it weren't for him just fucking up
constantly.
And all the guys handing him and him saying things that make Hannah feel shamed and judged and her kind of fighting with this like I want to be a strong empowered woman and like I want to have my voice versus the traditional kind of subservient kind of idea that Luke at least when he talks he describes he makes her feel like that's who he expects her to be and I think she's fighting that, but yet he feels very. You'll see this on the hometown episode. I think it's what that is tonight. Luke's clearly very religious, and she is attracted to that because that's what she knows and that's what she wants too, and that's fine. That's great, you know. And there's nothing wrong with Hannah being attracted to that and wanting that in her love life and her family. My parents' entire relationship was based off of. Their faith. They were introduced by a Catholic priest. So much of their religion, of their marriage was predicated on God. I mean, that's can be a great thing, but I think you see Hannah struggling with that. And so I think that's what's fascinating.
Yeah. Are you convincing me to watch? Now I'm like invested.
It's a good season. I will say this is a good season.
Yeah,
I've
heard amazing things about this
season. I can see why on Colton's season, like, tuning in for the first time to a season that was all about a guy being a virgin. And I think Colton's great and it was an entertaining season and the finale was great, but like I can get why you didn't get sucked
in. I used to watch when I was younger. I always did, but I lost track and then I stopped watching and then Colton's season, yeah, you're right. It was like enough. It was like he's a virgin. Yeah. Like he's not going to be forever.
Yeah. But I can see how this season I can getting to know you women, I could picture you having opinions.
Oh, yeah,
and
totally.
Just being like, you know.
Right.
Getting into that.
No, well, let me tell you something. Again, I told you, I knew nothing about this. And I was reading those tweets that Caitlin was replying to, and I was like heated. I was like, you have the chance to fuck in a windmill. You're not going to do it. Like,
yeah. How many windmills are there?
How many? Yeah.
Also, when's the last time you were in a windmill?
I know.
All those people, they're all having sex. You know,
yeah.
They're all, you know, I mean... Even the people who decided that they're born again virgins. Well, you used to fuck a lot, and now you fucked so much that now you're not fucking.
Right.
Like, so
you literally outfucked yourself.
Yeah.
So good for you for stopping, but like back off, man.
Yeah.
I haven't. You know.
Right.
So like.
Yeah.
I think again, it's a lot of people who just are bored and want to be heard. The human brain prefers pain to boredom.
Yeah, I like that fact, and it's true. We also have a very hard time dealing with joy. Like, once we feel too much joy, our ego comes in and is like, why am I so happy? That's why we go into that negative thought process.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
I got uncomfortable with the joy.
Yeah, right. And you have to wonder why. Like, what inside of you makes you feel, like, guilty for feeling so joyous Whereas if we could all just live like kids and be joyous, think about how different the world would be, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting thing. Notes from my therapist. How much does she come into this?
A lot. Dorothy.
Dorothy. We're pausing for a second to tell you guys about Rothy's. So I don't know if you've heard about this company, but it's the company that's kind of making headlines for making stylish shoes for women and girls out of recycled plastic water bottles. They're also insanely comfortable and machine washable. They've quickly grown to really being a very loved, gotta have them kind of brand, and it's no surprise that they have over 1,000 nearly perfect reviews. They're stylish, sustainable, comfortable, washable, really all-in-one pair of shoes. They're the perfect flats for life on the go. We ordered these. We both ordered the, like, they're kind of like sneakers. They were camel-colored, super comfortable, really easy, and also the machine washable thing is amazing because this happened when I was stepped in the mud, put them right in the wash. Nothing. It was like, I could not believe it. That's never happened to me before. I'm usually like there with a Clorox wipe. So the thing is, they're really everyday flats for life on the go. They're stylish and versatile, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. They also come in a very wide range of colors and patterns, and they're available in four different types of silhouettes. Plus, they're constantly launching new styles, so you're guaranteed to find a pair or three that you love. They launch new colors and patterns every few weeks, and they sell out constantly. Personally, again, I'm a camel person. Also important to note, Rothy's always comes with free shipping and free returns and exchanges, so there's no risk, no worries, no reason not to try. Also, I have to say, just in terms of the sustainability, like, it will blow your mind that they're made from recycled plastic water bottles. In fact, they have diverted over 25 million water bottles from landfills, which is unbelievable. So check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/celebs. Go to Rothy's, rothys.com/celebs to get your new favorite flats. Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to rothys.com/celebs today. Okay, now back to the show. Okay, so this is what we're doing. We're going to go into our award ceremony. We want you to help us crown our winners. Okay. So this is actually funny. So for funniest comment of the week, there was a tweet from Mike Johnson, and he writes, just saying, my future wife, though, girl, you ready for smiles, adventure, comfort, growth, honesty, laughter, me falling using my inhaler and kissing your stretch marks and imperfections? Where are you hiding? And some fan account responds, it's your chance, Demi. And she responds, I'm right here, Mike. I'm right here, boo. My mom already loves you, too. That one did so well. I love that one,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's very Demi.
Very.
I think she's obviously a huge star, and for her to, like, have what seemingly internet crush on one of the cast members, I think it's fun for people to watch. The whole show of The Bachelor is kind of predicated on these, like, normal people, regular people get casted and get this attention, and now overnight they have access to Demi Lovato and who's, like, commenting. And I think that is relatable. Like, relatable in the sense it's like, oh my God, like,
yeah,
he was just this guy, and now Demi Lovato wants to date him.
That's, you know what I equate that to? And it's a totally different, but just bear with me for a second. When the Vanderpump Rules cast members met Chrissy Teigen and she was, like, starstruck to meet them, and they're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
It's a kind of similar phenomenon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know? It was, like, on my season of The Bachelor, there, some of the bigger stories would have been, like, Brie Larson had me at her house for a viewing party. And then she was on Jimmy Kimmel and, like, showing pictures of that she snuck of me that I didn't even know until I saw in Jimmy Kimmel, and, like, this fascination that, like, you know, celebrities have with reality TV, which a lot of them do. And I think that people get a kick out of that.
They totally do. So that was our winner. And we also do our best clapbacks. There were two here, but I'll tell you who we chose and you can tell me if you agree.
Okay.
So the first was an article from The Province, and it wrote, the headline line is, Drake is no angel. And someone comments, Drake wants to appear tough by all means. He even liked it. And he responds, you sell silicone mix for damaged and dry roots, because her username was Fairy Hair and Beauty.
I think it's an actual brand.
Yeah.
I think the brand commented it and Drake replied.
People got a kick out of that one. The second was Macklemore. So he posted a picture with his mother-in-law and he writes, out here in Paris with my mom-in-law, glowed up, grown up. She used to not trust my ass at all as I'd sneak in and out of her house to visit his girlfriend on the late night. Now we in Paris eating appetizers, shopping, walking the city, and looking out the window of the Eiffel Tower. Life is good. Change is good. I love her beyond words, and I think she likes me now. And someone comments, amazing what a few million dollars can do. And he responds, although the money is nice, it unfortunately can't keep you sober. And when I got sober, that's when our relationship changed. Money had nothing to do with it. But yes, Paris is hella expensive, and those euros are adding up.
No, that's great.
Class act.
Yeah.
That was kind of just a classy clap back. And also just the clap from the fan was like, what does that have to do with anything he was talking about?
I mean, listen, we see it a lot. I'm sure you get it a lot. The most ridiculous, like, criticisms.
Yeah, no, it's...
like, if you're going to have a claim, at least have some basis to it.
Well, sometimes, like, a common claim, a clap from, like, for me or just Bachelor fans. It's like, dude, your 15 minutes are up. And I'm just like, that was 5 years ago, and I'm still, like, doing shit. Not that I'd never clap back. That right. sounds like it's douchey, but it's just more like, get a new joke or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's, sometimes it's like the claps for fans where it's just like, that still doesn't bother me, where you're still doing it. And like, but it's always works with a small group of like hardcore fans or whatever, or your Redditors or whatever. Do you guys go on Reddit?
Oh, I love Reddit. Well, you've recently gotten into Reddit in a different capacity than I've gotten into Reddit.
I don't go on Reddit.
I just started reading erotic stories on Reddit. I like can totally get off to it. Am I not supposed to say that? Well,
I don't know. It's your life. I was just saying that, like, I love Reddit and you love Reddit in a different capacity.
Well, that's how I started. That's how I found out about it. And now it's like a thing. I'm fascinated by it.
I like the Reddit, like, deep dive threads into, like, this conspiracy theory or this thing.
Well, that's a problem I have with it, is that it's conspiracy theories with, like, and it's sprinkled with some truth where, like, some fan saw this fan or heard this, but then it gets people read it as truth or
mm-hmm. and you have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah, and then it gets and all of a sudden people will just be like, I heard this about you and blah blah blah. And then there's like, I do know Bachelor Nation has a contingent of people I'm certain, and we talk about it with some of my friends, there's certain cast members and relatives and friends of cast members who have fake Reddit accounts who make up stories about other people.
Wow.
That happens.
Think about how intense, like, that's how wild, deep you have right? to go. Yeah.
Like, wow. I know that happens And I know certain people specifically who have done it.
You're not going to tell us any, no. I imagine.
But, like, and their moms have, like, fake Twitter accounts. And,
wow.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
But good for you for your thing, Emma.
But, like, Emma's getting off. So.
Yeah,
so it's one of us is using Reddit, right? And it's not right. either of you.
So they're just, like, people writing their own erotic stories? Or they're telling their own personal stories? What's going on?
The ones that I found are...
What
yeah,
gets people, you off?
Yeah. Well, now that you've asked, how do we always end up here? No, like...
What do you mean, how do we end up here?
Well, you said she's using Reddit in a new way, so what about, like, I'm not going to not say it. I am interested, or the ones that I like, are the ones where people are telling their stories from their own perspective and, like, just telling in really intense detail how they were feeling in the moment, whatever the thing is. I don't know. I'm into it. I can't.
I get it.
I never thought I could be a visual, like a reading.
Is it?
Reading's fun, right?
Well,
is it more men or women telling these stories?
I like it from the women's perspective, typically, not always.
But it is, you can find both.
You
on
can
there?
Find both. Oh. Let me tell you something. You can find whatever you're looking for.
That much I know.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like
I didn't know. I'm new here.
She's new to Reddit.
Do you think, not to get too philosophical, like, because, again, historically what we talked about, like, men are, like, the locker room talk. Guys are always talking about, like, oh, I hooked up with this chick. And, like, women, at least publicly, I mean, they don't talk about that with guys. I don't know if women do it in their groups, but are they that detailed and expressive about their sex lives? And is that something that, like, is new and exciting because you're reading it and it's other women sharing their stories?
Interesting. I think it depends on the friend group. Personally, in my experience, I think I'm so open that I attract people that are also so open, or they become more open around me. Would you say that's true?
Definitely.
So that's not where I get it from. I just like hearing. You're never, even if you're talking to your best friend, she's not going to explain it to you in the most intense detail like that. Like, she's not going to be like, my toes curled up. Like, no one's going to say that. So that's what I like. I've newly discovered, and any of you listening that are interested, you should take it out.
Is there a page they can go? Because
listen, I'm not going to start endorsing.
What do you search?
No, let's not go there. Come on. You can imagine.
It's a good thing we had a sex therapy session of this podcast. Do you want to start another podcast just sex therapy?
I would love to. It's like my
favorite. Like Dr. Ruth.
I wish.
How do you got to do like a Reddit podcast? Is there? It's got to be already.
There are Reddit podcasts. Be like, I was reading the story and I was like, yeah. So when Lyle Menendez, like, it's just so, there's just, it's so funny.
I know. Wow. So we kind of want to transition now to a Q&A. We got an overwhelming amount of questions for Nick, and I just want to ask them. The first one, though, is still this season of The Bachelorette focused, from this girl, Danielle. She said, as a past lead, how does Nick feel that Jed has gotten so far, given the new public history regarding going on the show purposely for exposure?
I'm very fascinated by this story because of that. And there's been so many seasons where people get caught for having relationships, And if that doesn't happen, there's always like this kind of bullshit story about like so and so broke up with me to go on the show, but those people never really end up. They're either not really a main character, or they get caught, mm-hmm. and then it's like an episode three kind of ooh moment,
right?
And then like that's not really a part of the show. But here you have a guy who, for the first few episodes, seemed like a nice guy and was a bit of a fan favorite, and then this story drops where this girl's like, as far as I know, he's my boyfriend, you know? Like, well, I haven't talked to him, but he also never broke up with me, kind of thing. And then by all intents and purposes, other than Luke, it seems like Jed's like the front runner, mm-hmm. you know? Where like she likes Tyler and she likes Pete to make out with, but like the relationship, like for me watching it, those are the two that she's right. developing real relationships yeah. with. So it's just like, oh shit, like what if this guy wins?
And then what?
And then what? You know, I feel bad for Hannah in a sense because it's like, that sucks. You know, mm-hmm. if she, you know, for she had to deal with this Luke bullshit. Then she finally trusts this this Jed guy only to find out a month in that he had a girlfriend. It's wild. I believe the accusation only because there's so much
proof.
Proof,
almost. Yeah.
Right? And the hometown episode that you guys didn't see, but it's wild in the sense that his family is pissed in a sense. Like he shows up and they kind of do that every year where they kind of like maybe play up the family's kind of like questions about the show, but his family wouldn't shut up about his music career. And it was like really fascinating about like, it's like his family knows, like his family, but they don't want
to. That's really interesting.
And it's really fascinating because I will say this. I believe that Jed, when he is expressing I love you to Hannah, I believe he believes it. Like, mm-hmm. I believe the girl. I believe he had a girlfriend going on the show. I believe he came on for love. But I think it almost makes him even a worse version of Luke, or worse than Luke, because I do believe that he believes he's falling in love now and completely just dismissed this relationship he had, which was only 4 months long, but like it seemed like it was she said, I've never said I love you to someone. And he says, I love you. And like he's taking that away from her in that sense. Mm-hmm. And then like just pretending, that's fucked up.
It's really fucked up.
And like the ball on him to thinking he was going to get away with it. You know, it is fascinating. I've said this on my podcast. I am surprised that not about a month ago, I got asked by a friend of a friend, this girl who was like, hey, can I ask your opinion? I signed up for the show months ago. I met a guy I really like. I'm in love with him. And then the show ABC just reached out to me about the show. Like, what do you think? And I'm like, what do you mean, what do I think? You just told me you're in love with someone.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, yeah, but it could be a good platform. Like, platforms, like, listen, it is a show about finding love. And, like, the things that come with it are nice bonuses. But if you are in a relationship, you can't go on the show. It's just how it works. This is not American Idol. You know, this is not. Right. Why didn't Jed fucking go on American Idol? Right. Why didn't he go on America's Top Talent? There's, like, literally four other shows that are reality TV focused. I mean, that are, like, talent focused that have nothing to do with. And it's wild. It's fascinating. So, like. If he does win, I can't wait for the After the Final Rose because it's such a story and it's so out there. And how do the producers not make it a part of the show? And the producers are what they're the best at is adapting. The show's not over when it's done filming. The show is not over until After the Final Rose is
right.
over. And so whatever happens, like with Ari, you don't watch it, but I'm sure you heard that.
Yeah, of course.
That all happened after the proposal. So, like, the show, in a sense, is still going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
They're not recording it, but I'm sure there's meetings that are going down. Like, I don't know who, you know, again, I don't know if she picked him. I'm actually spoiler-free this season, which has been fun. I've heard rumors that she's ended up with, like, three of the guys, so I don't really know. But as a viewer, I would pick Jed.
Right.
That she is going to end up with him. So, like, even if he's top two or top three, like, they're going to have to make that part. They got to make an example because no one's ever gone that far to anyone's knowledge who got called out with a lot of proof of having been in a relationship. They mm-hmm. always like get kicked out or they busted yeah. or whatever. And so it's fascinating.
It's, yeah, imagine being that other girl. That's just where my heart goes.
Yeah, sucks. That's, yeah.
You know, it's interesting because like she's gotten criticism too about like doing it for attention. And I had Tayshia on my podcast, who was on Colton mm-hmm. season, and mm-hmm. we talked about this topic because there was an Us Weekly story when she was on the show, and she was top four, top three, something like that. And basically this guy, you know, like I was dating Tayshia right before the show. Well, first of all, that's an entirely different story. Because again, had Jed just right before filming said, listen, I am doing this for my career, but it's about love and I'm going to like go for it. We should break up. Still not great. Real
but
bad look.
A little bit more understandable.
It's a lot different. You know, it's hugely different because at least he's like, I broke up with her. I'm not cheating on her.
Right.
Because in fairness to Jed, in that sense, no one goes on the show having any idea what the show is, right? Like no one thinks who gets on the show that they're really going to fall in love with the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, they're going for the experience. They may be like, at this point with the way Instagram and social media is that they're fantasizing about that for sure. But at least go in single. And like open to the possibility that if I get surprised and I hit off this person, then I'm free to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wasn't. He was in a relationship. And so all he had to do was end that. So like other people, like I do think sometimes like people are like, oh, they broke up with me before. I was like, fine, you were hanging out. They were going, and you're butthurt and now you're calling them out. Like they broke up with you and the timing is, they were dating. It's so... I don't know. I hope they make an example of them.
I honestly do, too, from the limited knowledge that I have of this whole thing. I mean, that's another question that we kind of got, which is, I guess, a good segue. It's like, you know, like you said, now with what comes a lot of the time with Bachelor fame is brand deals and, you know, being an influencer. What are your thoughts on that in terms of, do you think that that's changed people's motives for being on the show?
I do. I think it's the past, ever since JoJo's season, you really saw a shift where getting to know, like JoJo was the Bachelor right before I was a Bachelor, but I had been on it for two other seasons. So when I was on Andy and Caitlin's season, all the, you know, for seasons before I ever started watching it, there was always like the right reasons thing. Oh, are you here for the right reasons?
You know?
They'd bring up social media when it existed. But the truth is no one really, it was like, there was a lot of naiveness. You were going for the experience. And maybe they're like wondering what this could all be.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's this playbook, right? And then right after Andy's season, they created Paradise. So now it's not like, I know that when I was The Bachelor, it was like a running joke with me and the producers that as soon as I would send a girl home, and she'd be all like crying and devastated, she would like a day later be texting producers asking to go on Paradise.
Right.
There was like this playbook of like, no matter what week I get sent home, I could still maybe go back on to Paradise and maybe I can go on a couple times and like whatever I have to do to maximize my time and get more followers. Because even like on Annie and Caitlin's season, Instagram existed and like the novelty of like having 20,000 people follow you was cool and like weird, but you didn't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. You weren't monetizing it the way you are now.
Right.
You didn't have swipe ups or anything like that. That didn't exist. And so after JoJo's season, you started seeing that and you started seeing like cast, like the guys, all of a sudden they get off the season and they're like, they create YouTube channels and they're like doing those posts where tag three friends and blah, blah, blah. And it was just very like, there was no like chill. There was like, I got off the show, I'm influencing, or at least attempting to it. And I think that has changed it. And so you're seeing more, for all the criticism fans have gotten in the past, I think it's more real now because people do, they see this playbook, this idea of, if you know, in the it's easier for women. Women tend to get more followers or who are on their show. You know, like women, I seem, Bachelor women fans seem to, on average, to follow more women cast members. And if you're like top four or five, I mean, that it can really change your life, at least for a small window of time. And it certainly makes it more challenging for the authenticity of it all.
Absolutely. I can only imagine. I mean, followers are money. That's what we're living in now.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
And the show has gotten, with Colton being a young bachelor, they had a bunch of young women cast members. It was all 23, 24-year-olds, where in the past it was 23 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your next bachelor, if they go, it's going to be 26, 20, you know, so that makes it even harder.
Totally.
Because, like, millennials are getting married later in life, and now the show is casting people who are 23, 24, and with the introduction of social media, it's almost like, how do you really expect them to have their focus be love?
Uh-huh.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see where the show goes from there. But I do think the criticism's more fair, which is all the more reason why if this is true with Jed, they really need to like let people know, like, if you try to do this, it's never going to end good for you.
No.
Because it never does. Like, it always, and that's why I said to the girl who reached out to me, I'm like, here's the situations that can happen. One, you go on and you get kicked off right away. So whatever advantages you thought it would come, no one will remember mm-hmm. you and nothing will happen. Two, you'll get caught early and then they'll make something of you. Or three, you go far and you'll get sucked into that world like a Jed. And then whatever agreement you thought you had with your significant other would totally go out the window. And there's no way it's not going to come up. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're seeing with Jed. Like, there's no situation where someone on the outside is going to be like, yeah, you broke my heart. You lied to me. We thought and it's fascinating.
It really is.
Very, I mean, very interesting.
The Bachelor fame. I would love to see some sort of documentary on that or something.
Ooh.
That's a good documentary one. I wonder if they get the FabFitFun deals like as they're walking out of the house. That's what I feel like happens. You know what I
you
mean?
You get a FabFitFun. It's like, you didn't get a rose, but here's a FabFitFun box.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's been kind of a fun way to mock it a little bit. you know, and some of us have been lucky enough to try to do something with our platform and think outside of,
you know,
brand deals and things like that. And, you know, it's like anything else. It's you can make smart decisions and bad decisions, and you have to really be focused. And I think some of us are lucky, some of my friends were kind of in it when social media really took off. So we were kind of looked and kind of wondered and studied it and kind of figured out what this is. And it kind of, I think, gave us a level head about the playing field,
mm-hmm.
Where I think there's like this misconception with future cast members of what they think their opportunity is going to be.
Totally. That makes a lot of sense.
So,
okay, ready for these hard-hitting questions? Okay. So, are you single right now?
Yes.
That was number one.
I guessed that.
Are you looking to not be?
I'm open. I look forward to meeting someone. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not... I just have to have I'm not one of those... I don't constantly talk about being single. I mean, I make a joke on my social media a little bit about it. I probably play it up. I feel like sometimes the challenge is when it comes to on my social media, I feel like I have two choices, none of which are particularly appealing for me in terms of like my presence on social media. Is I feel like I could either come across as a man whore by like just constantly like when I'm dating, right? I'm out there, I'm dating. So if I like just on a frequent basis would post pictures with some of these girls I go on dates with, over time it would look like Nick's just dating a bunch of chicks and he must be a man whore.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and I'm doing the latter, is never share anything and just constantly look alone the time. I choose the latter, and then I kind of play into this whole like single thing, but I'm comfortable with my like dating life and it's been good and healthy and fun, and someday hopefully I'll meet someone that I want to settle down with.
Right. Do you feel like the way that you're picking partners is different now?
Not really. I think it's the show certainly affects it, right? But also I'm older and I've had serious relationships, and I think just anyone, regardless of who you are, as you get older, you become more selective. The relationships that failed in the past become a barometer or a benchmark for what you're choosing in the future. You learn from them. You know, when you're 22 and you meet someone and you think they're hot and you're like, let's date. Mm-hmm. This is real simple. Like, we should date, you know? And then when you're 29 and you've dated, maybe had two serious relationships, you're like, you're cool. Let's hang out for a little bit and we'll see where this mm-hmm. goes. You know,
right.
You're a little bit more pragmatic. So I think there's a little bit of that. And then it can be a little challenging. I don't need to date a celebrity. I don't need to date anyone specifically, but sometimes if it is, I think you want to feel safe when you're dating whoever you are. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you get a little uncomfortable if you know someone's a fan and you're just not quite sure if you feel safe enough to be yourself and talk about your life
mm-hmm.
for fear it could end up on Reddit or something like that. And not that it's anything
hey,
bad,
no,
but it's
know.
Just like you just don't want everyone to know. You want a dating situation to be normal. And so sometimes that can be a little tricky.
Do you think that you found yourself to be like more guarded? A little bit,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes total sense. I can only imagine.
I have dated celebrities, and I will say, while there's aspects about that that are different and weird, there's a level of comfort of not worrying about what I'm saying, because we are both relate to let's make this about this situation, and I'm not worried about like why are you asking me this question.
Exactly.
Like, are you trying to get to know me, or are you just like curious about what it's like in a rose ceremony?
Yeah.
And so that makes me feel more comfortable and safe sometimes.
Yeah, I hear that. We got a lot of questions about this, which feel free not to answer, but what was the deal with January Jones, speaking of celebrities?
Your friend.
Okay. I'm just asking the questions people want to know.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to.
No, it's okay. Would you ever consider, do you think, in any world, going on any sort of Bachelor again or another reality show?
No, I mean, I've literally done everything there is to do in Bachelor world. So as a cast member, like, pursuing love doesn't make much sense. Also, like, the show is about finding love, as much as it's about entertainment. And all jokes aside, like, that process hasn't worked for me, and I'm not necessarily trying, like, it's a way to find love. It's not the way. It's not the way to find love. So, like,
of course.
I'm
of
actively
course.
Trying to meet someone, and so there's other opportunities for me out there than going on the show and looking for love. But you know, sometimes the show will ask me to do a cameo or support the franchise in some way, and I've been open to doing that when it made sense.
Let me ask you a question, and I have a thought as to what your answer is going to be, but in terms of your view on the franchise, like, now that you're out of it for the most part. Is your look on it positive? Like, are you overall happy with the decision that you did it, or?
Yeah, well, I what I've always said is that I'm not proud of it, but I'm not ashamed. Like, I don't wear it with a badge of honor. If you go on my social media and you've never watched The Bachelor, you wouldn't have any idea that I was on The Bachelor. Like, I don't have, like, season 21 of The Bachelor with a rose on my bio.
Of course,
I just choose not to.
It's not your thing, yeah.
I don't lead with it in a conversation. I don't bring it up. I don't, like, do you know who I am? I don't do any of that stuff. I talk about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of, almost everything I'm doing in my life is some way related to me being on the show. So I am thankful for the opportunity. It's open. It's given me a lot of access. But I'm not proud of it where, like, I'm proud of the podcast I have or the essential oil company that I started or like, booking some, getting, being paid as an actor. I'm proud of that. But like being on the show, like that was just a weird opportunity that I got lucky and kind of did.
Right.
Makes sense.
And I think it's true what you said, that there's two different lanes that you can go down. You can really stay in that world or you can kind of expand. And even though you're related to that world, you've done things that are your own passions.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not so, like every guest on your podcast is a former Bachelor contestant.
I try not to be, but like sometimes it makes sense to have it.
Of course.
To have it.
This question was the one that we got more than anything, was that if you could redo one thing about your season, what would it be?
Not much. I mean, like, the women were great. I unfortunately don't think my person was on my season. I think that happens on a lot of seasons. In terms of, you know, there are little things that maybe, like, I joke when I answer that question, like, there was this bounce, like, Corinne was a popular character, and there was a time, like, she got a bouncing castle, and I played around, and looking back, it looked like I was, like, bouncing a bouncing castle with a literal child, and I would have, like, I didn't like it, I was pissed when it was going down, and I was just, like, why, but I was, like, being a team player, just doing it, but honestly, that didn't, like, change anything, and
no,
it's just, like, a joke, but... no, I was, as far as like, you know, Vanessa and I didn't work out, but she was the one I easily developed the strongest feelings for and the most authentic feelings for. And like Rachel was great and Raven was great, but I don't regret the decision I made. You know, had there been other people casted, things might've ended differently, but they weren't.
Right.
So, you know, as far as that relates, I wouldn't have changed it anything, I guess.
Do you talk to Vanessa at all? Do you guys?
No.
No. Got it. I mean, there's so many questions to ask you, but I guess, you know, let's just end with what's next. Like, tell me your dream for the next couple of years.
My dream?
Yeah. If you could choose the ideal way where your life career is going to go, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I kind of look at it two different things. Like, I did start a company called Natural Habits and Essential Oil Company. I've, weirdly enough, been passionate about essential oils in my life for 5 years. My sister's a holistic nutritionist and she turned me onto them. And then I wanted to, again, do something with this platform. And so I got into that, and that's gone really well. And so that's obviously something that's outside of the public eye. I mean, it is in a sense that I'm proud of the brand that we've been able to cultivate, and I want to grow that. And I think there's a lot of opportunity and growth. And obviously I use my platform to help build that. And so I'm excited to see where that goes. And then, you know, in the entertainment space, I have a podcast, and I really enjoy that, and it's a passion of mine, and it's fun to chat. And I like talking about sometimes tough subjects and like bucking the trends and at least getting people to think about things that, you know, it's easy to just agree with people. And then I have, and also like I have been into scripted acting, and I've been working with a coach for like 3 years, and that's a big passion project for mine. For one, I really enjoy it. And two, I think there's extremely low expectations of me in that space. So it's fun to, prove people wrong, prove myself wrong. And so it's been really exciting to get opportunities and do it and see the growth for myself and see where that can take me. I am playing the long game because I am very fortunate. You know, a lot of people who get into acting, they don't have the luxury of making income in other spaces, mm-hmm. where I can be somewhat selective, and I don't stress if I don't get a gig in 6 months or something. So we'll see where it takes me, but I hope I can continue to keep doing that. And maybe in 2 or 3 years, I'll do something where I won't be Nick the Bachelor. I'll be like, hey, Nick was really great in that show, and mm-hmm. That's something that I'm hoping I'll have an opportunity to do.
Absolutely. Amazing. Well, this was a pleasure. This is a ride.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, of course. Thank Anytime. Remember, catch his podcast, Vile Files.
Yeah.
And thank you. This was great.
Thanks, ladies.
So I'm a big fan of transparency across all aspects of life. Like, generally speaking, there's pretty much nothing I wouldn't rather be told straight up. But specifically when I'm buying something or paying for a service, I just want to know what I'm getting myself into. And oftentimes there can be so much nonsense or so much yada yada. For example, sneaky terms hidden in the fine print of contracts, or bills that randomly go up without properly alerting you, or budget airlines with cheap fares but then exorbitant fees to make up for it elsewhere. And we just should not need to be dealing with this type of yada yada in our lives. And yes, you could read every single word of every single contract, and that's one way of avoiding it. Or you can go with a trusted brand like Metro by T-Mobile that helps you to get ahead and not pull you back. That's right. You don't take yada yada from life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and not a yada yada, which honestly gives so much peace of mind. Like, you shouldn't have to compromise for an okay option with sacrifices when you really deserve that full transparency. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.